Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And in a lot of ways, it connects you with what's going on around the state and around the region by our state agencies, because we're so pleased that once a month we get to talk to Michelle Pulin or one of her colleagues at the Colorado Department of Transportation, CDOT. And Michelle joins us now on the line. And Michelle, it seems like we've been spared a lot of the winter driving that we are used to, but I guess this weekend, and hopefully as we move our way into the winter time, it's going to be crucial that we keep those winter driving skills and precautions in place.
Absolutely, and you're so right. You know, there are definitely chit chatters happening around here. Is when are we going to start getting that winter weather, and when are we really going to get those plows out in use? And I'm sure even though it's delayed, it will be coming. And, you know, this is Colorado, and you never know what Mother Nature is going to throw at us. But yes, our plow drivers are out there, and they're prepared to take on those snowy roads. And if they come this weekend, great. And, you know, we just ask that motorists do the same thing. Some of the tips that we ask is definitely to bow to the plow. When you're out and you see a snow plow on the road, the safest place for you to be is safely behind that plow, and consider it a escort to wherever you're going. They're personally plowing the road for you. But definitely give them the space and the respect that they need to do their job. But also you can prepare your car for the snow. This is a great opportunity to do that. Make sure you have adequate tread on your tire. You definitely don't want to be out in the snow and adverse conditions with bald tires. Make sure that you have your reservoir filled with windshield wiper fluid as well as good windshield wipers. And don't forget to toss that ice scraper in your trunk so you have that when you need it. And then, of course, put that emergency kit in your car. Great items to think about to have in your emergency kit are non-perishable snacks, a few bottles of water, an extra jacket, a blanket, things to keep you warm just in case you are stuck in your vehicle for an extended period of time.
I remember when I first moved to Colorado, it was about, gosh, two decades ago, and I didn't understand the importance of having all the washer fluid topped off in my car, and I got stuck up in the mountains on a highway, not being able to clear my windshield. I remember having to stick my head out of the car in a snowstorm until I reached the next exit. So that's really crucial. That's really crucial. A lot of folks who are unfamiliar with Colorado's roads don't understand that you will get that splashback, your windshields will cover, and you are in like dire situations if you don't have your windshield fluid ready.
Yeah, you don't realize how important that is, but you know, between the product that CDOT puts down on the roadway and then just the snow and other cars being dirty, it can, I mean, just make your windshield filthy. So yeah, that windshield wiper fluid is a necessity in Colorado.
Now describe for us again, if people are trying to take advantage of maybe some great skiing up in the mountains, what do you need to have with you? And I'm thinking primarily of going through the Eisenhower Tunnel over Loveland Pass, but what do you need to have with you if you're in a car driving that route to make sure that you're not running afoul when those chain restrictions go into effect?
You bet. So the first thing we ask you to do is know before you go. Know about those traction laws, know about those chain laws, know about the differences. We will put it on our what we call VMS boards, which are those overhead board message boards that go across the highway. We will let you know when traction law is in effect. But what you need to make sure is that you have adequate tread. No matter what kind of car you have, adequate tread on your tires is number one. And it's 3/16 of an inch. So what's 3/16 of an inch? Everybody kind of wonders that. Well, if you look at your phone charger, the USB side, that silver part is about 3/16 of an inch. So you don't want to carry around a USB and stick it in your tire to see if, you know, how deep your tread is. But CDOT has on our website, which is cotrip.org, if you look at winter-wise, we have a card that you can print that you will see exactly how deep 3/16 is. But putting that to the side, if you have a all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive vehicle with adequate tread, you are okay to be on I-70 or other mountain passes when traction law is in effect. If you have a front-wheel drive or a rear-wheel drive, you're going to need adequate snow tires that are considered to be snow tires. So mud and snow designation, the logo on the side. If you don't have that, then you need to have another traction device, whether that be chains or the auto sock or some sort of traction device that you can put on your tires to have additional traction. You need to make sure you have that. We see so many times, you know, you'll hear about closures on I-70 or Hoosier Pass, you know, Loveland Pass, whatever pass it may be, about slide-offs. 9 times out of 10, those slide-offs are due to vehicles that don't have adequate tread. Whether it be semis, whether it be passenger vehicles, tread is key. So
right. And I was unfamiliar with auto socks. I actually looked them up on Google once, and I didn't realize a lot of people prefer them to chaining up, because, you know, you don't want to get stuck in the mountains without that traction. And again, you'll get sighted if they catch you. So you don't want to do that. But the auto socks apparently are relatively easy to put on. Is that correct?
That's correct. So, you know, auto socks are a little easier to put on than chains, and then there's other brands out there as well. So, you know, if you don't want to get tires and you want to look into, you know, those alternate traction devices, definitely do your research, see what's the best for you. But if you ask me, I would recommend going with the good tires ahead of spending right. money on the traction devices.
That just means, though, that you need to switch out those tires, right, every season, because you don't want to be wearing, having your car put the wear and tear on those year round. And again, you mentioned that website, but let's just tell folks about it again. People may be needing it in the coming days. So again, what's that website to get all the latest information on road conditions and such?
You bet. It's CoTrip, CoTrip.org. And you can find out so much information. That's a great resource for motorists. No matter if you're going to the mountains or, you know, or you're just on your normal commute, you can find out what construction projects you're going to encounter, what weather conditions are like. You can take a peek at our cameras. There's just a wealth of information on CoTrip.org. So I highly recommend that folks check it out.
All right. Well, Michelle Pulin,
you know,
with
our standard know before you go.
Know before you go, and bow to the plow. I like that one too. And don't pass on the right side of the plows, right? That's what we talked about the last time you were talking to us, Michelle. All right, we need to take a short break here. We have Michelle Pulin, who's the Region Communications Director for CDOT, joining us on the phone right now. When we come back, let's tackle a couple of project updates. Let's see how we're doing with the I-25 gap, and also a project that's garnered a lot of interest recently, the project interchange project at Powers and Research. That and more when we come back here on the Extra on KRDO News Radio. We're back with The Extra, and our guest today, Michelle Pulin of the Colorado Department of Transportation. And certainly, Michelle, you were mentioning before, I just want to mention those plow drivers. They've had it pretty easy so far this winter, but I know that you were dealing with a shortage in plow drivers last summer, at the end of the summer, where you were looking for more plow drivers. How is your staffing level now?
You know, we continue to hire maintenance employees. We have right now about a 20% shortage. And I don't even know if shortage is the right word, but we have about a 20% vacancy rate. Typically this time of year, we have about a 10% vacancy rate. So continuing to hire, if you know someone with a CDL interested in a great career in transportation, we're always looking, and you can check out our website, which is codot.gov, and check out our career opportunities. It's a wonderful place to work. So I would highly recommend, if someone wants a secure position with the state, to check out those available right. positions that are all over the state, you know, even if you're looking to relocate.
Fantastic. Okay, so let's talk projects. And we'll talk about the Research Empowers project in just a little while, that interchange project, because I know a lot of listeners probably are interested in that. They travel through it daily, but also the I-25 Gap project. I mean, that has, for anyone who travels that regularly, ever since they started opening that third lane, and I know it's not going to be free for use forever, because it's only through this fall, right, that we're going to have that free use. But it has really seemed to ease travel problems.
You know, it has. We are very excited that, you know, we call substantially complete through the gap. We still will have some work as we put in the technology for the express lanes, as well as this coming spring, we will have to put that top mat of paving throughout the project. But it is sensitive to temperature, so we have to wait until this spring to be able to do that. So there is still some work to be done. Again, you can check our website, cotrip.org, to find out what impacts and lane closures will be on that project. But for the most part, that third lane, that express lane, is open for testing right now, which means all the tolls are waived. And it gives folks an opportunity to get used to traveling that area and knowing how to use that express lane. I have driven it a few times since we have opened it, and, you know, things I will say are, you know, that express lane, just because the term express is in the title, doesn't mean you can travel as fast as you want.
right, right. Some people are taking that as license, yeah.
Definitely. So we're seeing folks traveling way too fast. It is still a work zone, so the speed limit varies from 60 to 70 miles an hour. So pay attention to what the speed limit is, and even in that express lane, watch your speed. The other thing I would say is express lanes have different rules than the regular roadway. You will notice for that third lane, the most inside lane, you'll see a dotted white line. When you see that dotted white line, that means you can enter and exit the express lane. If you see a double solid white line, that means you need to stay in that lane. The express lane is not meant to be a passing lane. You can't use it, you know, just to quickly pass someone. Once you enter into that express lane, you need to stay there until you come across those double, or the dash white line versus the double line. You will notice that a lot of our signage through the gap, when it's talking about the expressway, it says, don't cross double white line. That's what that's referring mm-hmm. to. So it's going to take some time for folks to get used to that and know the rules of using an express lane. So we will actually probably waive those the tolls for the gap between Monument and Castle Rock for the next several months, probably until the project is fully complete. So it may be next fall before you start okay. seeing actual tolls in that area.
So, Michelle, you know, for I'm fortunate because I spent some time in California where express lanes, and there are different iterations of them, but they use them a lot there. So I'm a little bit more used to express lanes. But for a lot of folks who've been in Colorado for a while, they may not understand express lanes and how they will change, how they will fluctuate depending on traffic conditions. So can you explain that for our listeners?
You bet. So there's two different ways that you can use the express lane. You can pre-purchase what we call a transponder. The transponder is good for use anywhere in Colorado where there are express lanes, whether it's E-470 on the way to the airport, C-470, I-70 Mountain Express Lane, or the I-25 Express Lanes. That transponder is good for any of those lanes, and it will get you the cheapest price for using the express lane. When you have an express lane, such as the one that's going to be between Monument and Castle Rock, you always have the two free lanes, and then the express lane you can use for a more reliable trip, but it is at a price. So the transponder is the cheapest way to use that. If you use it without the transponder, the technology will take photos of your license plate, and whoever that car is registered to will get an invoice in the mail for the cost of the toll. The tolls will fluctuate depending on the type of volume that's on the roadway. So during peak travel times, you will see higher express lane tolls. When there's not as much traffic volume, you'll see lower. What we have, we don't have what the cost of using the express lane between Monument and Castle Rock will be, but we know that it will be probably the lowest in the state.
What happens if there's an accident on any of the lanes, but I'm thinking specifically on the two free lanes. What happens if there's an accident in either of those lanes? Does the system limit use of the express lanes so you can get ambulances and paramedics and firefighters to those scenes quicker?
It depends on the situation, depends on the crash. So if we need to use those express lanes to get emergency responders to the crash, we will do that. If we have the ability to use the express lanes to get additional traffic, that traffic queue around the crash, we will waive tolls so all motorists can use that express lane. But again, it completely depends on the situation. We're really fortunate with the I-25 gap project in that we were able to really widen the shoulders on both the inside and the outside of the roadway. And that's going to definitely help our emergency responders respond in those type of situations. So we have lots of safety enhancements with that project that have also gone in that are going to tremendously assist our emergency responders.
Right. And it sounds also like it gives you a better tool to manage traffic flow through that area. I'll tell you, having been stuck in a number of traffic jams over the years, not just during the construction, but over the years in that stretch, sometimes it just, you feel like, oh dear, are we ever going to move? And so it sounds like this will hopefully give emergency responders and the state patrol better ways to get traffic flowing again. So that's exciting to hear and very encouraging. We're talking with Michelle Pulin, who's the communications manager for the region for CDOT, and she's talking about the various projects and safety tips that we need to keep in mind as we are out and about on the state's highways. We have more of the Extra coming up. Keep on listening to KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra, the show connecting you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And just last week, I believe it was, Michelle Pulin is our guest today from CDOT. And just last week, Michelle, you and your colleagues there at CDOT hosted a community meeting where people could hear updates and plans for Colorado Highway 115 between Florence and Canyon City. And first of all, having a little bit of knowledge of some of these community meetings, why don't you explain what happens at these community meetings and what concerned citizens can learn by going to one like the one you hosted?
You bet. Well, first of all, I will just say that it was really nice to be able to have an in-person meeting. So many of our public open houses have gone virtual, which definitely has its benefits as well, because then you can just sit on your couch and peruse the materials. But being able to talk to people one-on-one was really nice at that event last week. And so the event last week was about Colorado 115 and some safety improvements that we want to make on that roadway. So what an open house is all about is we have some of the engineers that have designed the project, as well as folks in positions like I have, just to talk about what folks can expect, when the timeline of the project will be, the improvements we want to do, and it gives residents and people who are concerned about the project the opportunity to, maybe discuss things that we missed. This particular project is a ways down the road, but we just wanted folks to have the opportunity to see it, know what we were going to do. We know that there is lots of need for improvements on 115. So what we came away with is that, you know, people are really excited about improvements on 115. We're going to be adding passing lanes. We're going to be widening a bridge that's in the area. So lots of great things to come. That project won't be starting anytime soon. It'll probably late 2022, but lots of great safety enhancements. Again, like I said, adding passing lanes, adding a turn lane at Old Canyon City Road, right lane deceleration lanes, things that will really help safety and mobility on that roadway.
Okay. And something similar is happening in Colorado Springs at Powers and Research with the work that's going on for that interchange, in which Powers will be free-flowing. And so you won't have to stop at that stoplight on Powers anymore once this is all done. But why don't you tell us what the updates are on that project as you know them?
I have an exciting update specifically, exclusively for your listeners. So
great.
Powers and Research started construction this past summer. What that project is going to do is it's going to take a diverging diamond interchange, an above grade interchange where a normal intersection was. So it's going to improve safety. It's going to improve mobility. It's going to make free flow, as you said, traffic on Powers much easier. In November, we closed Research Parkway. We worked very closely with the city and, you know, talked about this project, how we could accelerate the timeline on this project. And both the City of Colorado Springs and CDOT said this is something that we can do to provide a safer work zone, accelerate the project, reduce the cost, but most importantly, it would take away 60 consecutive nights of very, very noisy night work.
Wow,
this is
yeah.
a busy area with lots of residents, lots of businesses. We didn't want to keep people up for 2 months. So we closed Research. The plan was that tomorrow, Friday, we would reopen Research. Well, we, again, were able to do so much so fast. The majority of the earthwork for the bridge structure as well as the diverging diamond interchange has been completed. So we opened access to Research yesterday instead of on Friday, which is what we originally released, that it would be open tomorrow morning. It was opened last night. So nobody
so
else knows
days.
That other than the folks that are listening this morning.
And the folks who get to use it.
Exactly. And then the folks who are in the area and have used it. So we so appreciate the community, the businesses in the area for their patience. We know that this has had a huge impact on them and it's been an inconvenience. But I think in the long run, folks are really going to understand why we did this. And again, this will keep us to our timetable of having this project done by the end of 2022. And it's a huge project. I mean, we are building a brand new interchange and a diverging diamond interchange at that. So it's a significant project that we're going to be able to deliver to the City of Colorado Springs by the end of the year.
And so with that, you know, major push done and getting done 2 days early, which I know the businesses in the area, they were starting to feel the pinch. So this is going to definitely come as good news to them. But with this, do you anticipate any significant closures of that length and magnitude as we move through this project in the future?
No, we do not anticipate any significant closures like the 2 month closure of Research as we progress. Will there be lane closures and road closures? Absolutely. But we will definitely be communicating those before they happen and make sure everybody in the area knows. But nothing as significant as the 2 month closure of Research.
I was looking at some maps of this area and I was thinking of other areas where you've done similar underpass, overpass, I'm not sure the technical term, but those kind of projects, like for instance, at Austin Bluffs and Union. And I was thinking, you know, there really weren't, when you did Austin Bluffs and Union, because I was around then, there really weren't any businesses around the area that would have been impacted by something like this. So, I mean, even though it caused inconvenience at the time. It was only to drivers who had to, you know, go through detours and, you know, plan on a little extra time while going through that area. But this is one where you have businesses that are right up against that interchange. So that has to make things a little bit more complicated.
You know, it does. You know, both businesses and residents, you know, we wish that there was a way that we could do construction that had no impact, you know, to motorists, and we just haven't found a way to do that yet. But we do try and minimize those impacts as much as we can. You know, we take time to listen to residents, to listen to businesses, and see what we can do to lessen those impacts. And while closing research seemed like a huge impact, we feel like it was less of an impact than if we wouldn't have closed it. Because like I said, you would have had that very noisy nighttime work as we did the pile driving for caissons. There will be lane closures that will happen as we put girders in for the bridge. So folks need to pay attention to that. But knowing about those inconveniences before they happen makes a huge difference. So again, it's another opportunity for me to plug CoTrip and CODOT.gov, our two websites. Educate yourself, know before you go. Most of our projects have newsletters, including the one at Powers and Research. So you can sign up for those newsletters, you can sign up for text alerts, or you can just go to the website and check out impacts when it's something of interest to you.
Well, and kudos to that team for getting that project or that part of the project pushed through so quickly, because that is not easy. We do know that. All right. We will be talking more to Michelle Pulin. We need to take a short break right here. When we come back, one of my favorite things to say, MAMSIP. Find out where we stand with MAMSIP, as well as we're going to talk about a way that you can find out about some of the interesting work that goes on when they are doing the excavating for road projects. And that's a new documentary that's coming out, and how you'll be able to watch it. That and more here on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. We're back with The Extra, and in a little bit, we're going to be talking MAMSIP, Military Access and Safety. So Michelle Pulin will be telling us what that acronym stands for. You know, you got to love military and, you know, state agency alliteration there with the big names. But let's talk first, though, about a way. Now, I know that you represent the Southeast region, Michelle, but this is very far southeast. It's a project that's been going on where some of the archaeological finds that have been discovered by, I believe it's through CDOT, it's a new era of archaeology, and there is a documentary that is going to be airing on Rocky Mountain PBS this weekend, on Sunday, I believe, that will allow people to see what's being done with CDOT and its contracted firm Alpine Archaeological Consultants, as they are working with regional tribes and making sure that as we go through the state, we're not losing precious artifacts. This is fascinating, it sounds like.
It is such a cool project, and I can't wait to watch this documentary. It's actually southwest Colorado, so down by Durango. So we have our US 550 project that's happening right now that is expanding that roadway. And in 2018, when we started that project, we knew that we were going to run into some archaeological finds. We do have a couple of Native American tribes who are local to that area, so we connected with them, and they helped us with this archaeological dig, and we did a documentary, and it will be on Rocky Mountain PBS this weekend. So if you have the opportunity, I highly recommend that you watch it, because just as you said, it's absolutely fascinating to see what our past was and learn about our history. And this is specific to the Durango area, which is definitely our neighbors here in the South. So definitely, if you have the time, check it out.
Right. And I just want to mention to our listeners, if you'd like to watch that documentary, it's Sunday at 10 a.m. I was just able to find the exact times. Sunday at 10 a.m., Thursday, March 17th at 7 p.m. Or apparently you'll also be able to view it on their website, rmpbs.org. And I think it's an unseen side of projects that you don't often think about, is that they may be stumbling about in their excavation work, archaeological, treasures. And, it's another thing that I think the I-25 Gap Project opened people's eyes to the fact that maybe you need to plan for wildlife crossings so that the wildlife can get across or try to herd them across in safer ways so that they don't end up, losing their lives as they're crossing the roads and also causing traffic accidents for motorists. So you see these unseen parts of how the state is going about making the state's highways and roadways better and improved, but at the same time doing it with respect for nature and with respect for our historic past. Let's talk MAMSIP. Okay, so Michelle, I failed terribly at what the exact title is. Tell me again, what's the title and where we stand with that project?
So MAMSIP, Military Access, Mobility, and Safety Improvement Project. So we're not allowed to be a state agency without having great acronyms. So that's one of the many acronyms that we have here at CDOT. And so that project actually has four separate locations. So the I-25 location, which you're seeing work ramp up tremendously right now, Colorado 94, Charter Oak Ranch Road, and South Academy. So four distinct projects that are happening kind of together. Biggest one that you're seeing activity on is I-25, and it's I-25 between South Academy South to Santa Fe Drive in Fountain. What we're doing there is we are going to replace the bridges that are over South Academy. We're going to be widening some areas, widening bridges, also doing what we call concrete paving. So instead of asphalt, that entire area, that entire stretch of I-25 will be concrete, similar to what it is through most of downtown Colorado Springs. So, we talk about the gap being just about finished. I-25 MAMSIP is just starting. So this is going to be a very active, very busy construction zone. So please pay attention when you're in that area. Right now we have some traffic shifts near Fountain, so please pay attention to those. We have reduced the speed limit to 65, so please know that if you're traveling between Fountain and Colorado Springs or Pueblo and Colorado Springs. We know we have a lot of commuters in that area. We know that it's heavily used by our military installations. So again, drop the distractions, watch the speed limit, and know that that's an active work zone now.
All right. Fantastic. Good warning there. When it's done, though, it sounds like it may smooth the flow in and out of those crucial military access points.
That's 100% correct. We want to make sure that our military installations have safe access to the bases as well as reliable access. So that's all of these projects are meant to assist with that. And then those of us who use it on an everyday basis will be able to take advantage of those benefits as well.
All right. We only have about a minute left, and I didn't get to the Highway 50 Purcell update. Is there anything new that we should be telling folks other than it's progressing well?
That one is progressing well. You will begin seeing more bridge building activity on that project, as well as I-25 Exit 11. If you're headed south towards Trinidad, we just placed girders on that project this past week. So lots of bridge activity in the southeast corner of the state recently.
All right. Well, if you'd like to find out more, as Michelle mentioned, you can go to CDOT's website at codot.gov. Correct, Michelle?
That's correct. Or cotrip.org for our trip planner and to find out road conditions and closures.
Well, always a pleasure talking to Michelle Pulin, the Communications Manager for the Southeast Region for CDOT. And thank you again, Michelle, for sharing all this critical information to everyone who's needing to get out and about on our roadways.
Of course, and drive safe, and winter will be coming, so be prepared and get that windshield wiper fluid put in your cars.
Yeah, you don't want to be like me, the dog hanging the head out the window. That was not a good way to do it. All right, Michelle, thank you. And to our listeners, we hope you've enjoyed this hour of The Extra.